What goals do you have for your child in those 17 or 18 years that you have them with you? What do you want to accomplish in their life? What goal do you have for them? I'm not thinking about when they're grown, but right now, they are God's gift to you. What goals do you have for your gift? Do you have some concrete objectives that you want to accomplish in your child's life? The surest way to miss a target is not have a target. And the surest way not to accomplish the goals in your child's life is don't have any goals. Don't have any clear-cut objectives. Maybe you're just thinking, man, I just want to get them grown and out of here. If I can do that, I've accomplished a lot. But what do you really want to accomplish in their lives? I mean, they're the most precious thing in the world to you. What goals do you have for them? Wouldn't it be great if God would just give us the goals that He would want us to have for our kids? And not only that, but He would tell us how to accomplish that goal, give us a plan to accomplish it. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, I want you to know God has. He's given us the goal, and He's given us the plan to accomplish that goal. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. Take your Bibles and turn over to the book of Deuteronomy. It's in the Old Testament. It's a part of the first five books of the Bible known as the Torah. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy contains sermons that Moses preached, pastoral sermons that Moses preached to the children of Israel as they were preparing to go into the promised land. They had wandered 40 years in the wilderness because of their rebellion against God. That generation had died out. A new generation had arisen. And now they were preparing to go in and claim the land that God had promised them. And before they go in, Moses preaches a series of pastoral sermons to them to give them instructions, to help them as they prepare to go in. And the passage today contains one of those sermons, or part of one of those sermons. And we're in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy. We will be beginning in verse 4 and reading through verse 7. Now, in respect for the Word of God, I'm going to ask you to stand as I read. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You may be seated. May God bless the reading and the hearing, and most of all, the obeying of His Word. Did you see it in that passage? Did you see the goal that God has for your children? And did you see the plan? All right, first the goal. And I provided a place in the bulletin for you to take notes. So if you'd like to take notes of this morning's message, feel free to open up your bulletin and do so. First, God's goal for your child is that you would love, that they would love God supremely. They would love God supremely. That's found in verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Now, what's Moses saying? Well, Moses is saying we should love God with our total being. All your heart, all your soul, and all your might is just another way of talking about your whole being. That we should love God totally, supremely, and without reserve. One day a lawyer came up to Jesus and asked him a question. He said, Jesus, which commandment is the greatest commandment? In other words, if you could only do one thing, what would God want that to be? If you could only obey one commandment, what commandment should that be? When Jesus answered that question, He quotes from this passage in Deuteronomy, as we see over in Matthew chapter 22. And He said to him, that is, Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Jesus is saying the most important thing is to love God above all else. To love Him supremely and without reserve. Jesus is saying God is to be the center of our life. Our lives are to be centered around God. That we are to be surrendered in our life to the Lordship of Christ. That He is to be all and in all in our lives. The most important thing. He is to be the supreme love of our lives. That's God's goal for us and for our children. What does this mean, to love God supremely? I was reading not too long ago and came across what I'm going to share with you right now. And I think that this sums up what it means for your child to love God supremely. That they would say about their life, the service of Christ is the business of my life. When your life's business is to serve Christ, doesn't mean you have to go into full-time Christian work, but it means whatever you're doing, and wherever you're doing it, you're serving Christ. They would say the will of Christ is the law of my life. That's the ultimate question that they ask. What's God's will in this situation? What would Christ have me to do in this decision? And they would say the presence of Christ is the joy of my life. That the joy of their life would be to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus. To walk with Him daily. And then the glory of Christ is the goal of my life. Their life's goal, their life's ambition is to bring glory to God in all that they do, in all that they say. And so this is what it means to love God supremely. Now, can you have any goal for your child that's greater than this? You may be thinking, well, you know, I'd kind of like for him to be wealthy. Well, you know what Jesus said? He said, what does it profit a man if he gained the whole world and forfeits his own soul? Jesus said, if a man owned all the oil fields in this world, if he owned all the riches, if there were all the money in all the banks, what has it really profited him if he has forfeited his eternal soul? There are plenty of rich people who are miserable. You say, well, I want them to grow up to do something that is noteworthy, like maybe discover a cure for cancer. Now that's great, and that'd be wonderful if they could do that, but again, that only affects this life. And compared to eternity, the Bible says this life is just like a vapor that's there and gone in a moment. So what goal can you have for your child that's greater, that's more important than them loving God supremely and without reserve? Well, that brings us to the plan. How can we accomplish this goal in the lives of our children? God gives us a plan as well. And the plan is to teach them personally and continually and naturally. All right, first, we are to teach them personally. Jesus, the Word says, these words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. God is saying through Moses to these parents. Now, if you're going to teach these to your children, they've got to first be on your heart. You've got to believe them. You have got to love God if you're going to teach your children to love God. You see, values are always more caught than taught. Our children see how we live. That speaks much louder to them than what we simply say. And so if we're going to teach them to love God supremely, then we must personally love God supremely ourselves. And we can only love God supremely through His Son, Jesus. Jesus was talking one day in John 14. And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Jesus is saying there's no way we can love God supremely except through Jesus Himself. You say, well, why not? Why can't I just love God apart from Jesus? Well, that's a big problem. And it's called sin. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are not capable in ourselves of loving God supremely because of that thing called sin that we all have in us. The thing that God says that sin causes a separation between us and Him. And if we're ever going to love God supremely, something's got to be done about that sin problem. And you know, we can't do anything about it as hard as we try. We might try to live the best life we know how to live. But even our best is far short of God's holiness and righteousness. I mean, we would have to be perfect in thought. That means never think a thought that was contrary to God's will. We would have to be perfect in how we act. We would have to be perfect in every word that we say. Now, not only must we not say anything that's wrong, but also we must always do what is right. Now, you might, and you probably couldn't stop yourself from doing all wrong, but you're surely not going to do everything that's right either. So you see, we fall far short of God's glory. But the good news is, Jesus Christ came, and He lived that perfect life we couldn't live. He never sinned in word, thought, or action. Never. Not only that, but He always did exactly what God the Father wanted Him to do. He fulfilled absolute, total righteousness. He did everything. What we couldn't do, He did. And then the Bible says that because of our sins, what we deserve is death. For the wages of sin is death. But Jesus was willing to take that penalty of our sins upon Himself. So He didn't deserve to die because He never sinned. You and I should have been on that cross, but He took our place. He was our substitute. He died for us. He was punished for our sins. And then He came alive on the third day, and He's alive today. And He offers eternal life. He offers the forgiveness of sins to all who will come to Him in faith. The Bible says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when we come in faith, surrendering our will to His will as Lord of our life, asking Him to come into our life, forgive us of our sins, and give us a place in heaven, He comes in and He washes away our sins. His blood covers our sins. And He gives us a place in heaven. And He comes to live within us, and it is through Him that we can love God supremely. He will love God through us, and it is as He dwells in our life, as our Lord, as our King, that He enables us to love God supremely. So that's what we must first do if we're going to teach our children to love God supremely. We've got to love Him supremely. And we can only do that through Jesus Christ. So first, we must teach them personally. Second, God's plan is we must teach them continually. Look in verse 7. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall teach them when you sit in your way, in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Now look at the phrase, you shall teach them diligently. Now in the Hebrew of the Old Testament, this word was used for sharpening a knife or a sword. And if you've ever sharpened a knife or a sword on a stone, you know you don't just take it and move it across a stone one time, do you? But you move it back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And as you continually, repeatedly move that knife across that stone, what happens to it? It gets sharper. And so when God says we are to diligently teach them, He says we are to continually teach them. It is to be a repeated action. You know, modern learning theories say that the children learn the best in short intervals that are repeated. In 5 or 10 minute intervals that are repeated is the best way to teach children. And this is exactly what God's saying right here. He said, just like you sharpen that knife by moving it continually and repeatedly over that stone, so we teach our children by teaching them repeatedly, continually, in short intervals of time. You see, teaching your children to love God supremely is a process. It's not going to take place in one day. It's not going to take place in 1 week. It's not going to take place in 1 year. That's why God gives them to you for 17, 18 years. Have you ever thought about it? No other animal in all the animal kingdom takes that long to grow up. You know, most animals are grown in a year, right? From infant through adulthood in most animals is a year, a little more. But adults, I mean humans, how long does it take? 17, 18 years. Now God did that for a reason. Because He knows it's a process. It's something we do repeatedly. It's something we do continually. So not only must we personally have our love for the Lord, we must convey this to our children on a continual, repetitive basis. And that brings us to the fourth, a third characteristic of our teaching. First, personally. Second, it must be continually. And thirdly, we are to teach them naturally as a lifestyle. Notice again in verse 7. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Notice, this teaching of your children is to be a part of your everyday living. Look at it. This is just a lifestyle. When you rise up, when you sit down, when you walk by the way, when you wake up, when you lie down to go to sleep, it is to be a continual part of your lifestyle. In modern days, language it would say, you're to be teaching them to love God supremely as you're riding down the road, as you're going to the supermarket, as you're sitting in the den, as you're sitting around the table, as you're watching television, as you're putting them down to bed at night, as you're driving them to school in the morning, as you're picking them up in the afternoon, as you're bringing them to upward soccer practice. It is just to be a natural flow in your lifestyle to be teaching them to love God supremely. Now, I see it working itself out in three ways in my family. I have six children now. The youngest are 18, so we are pretty much gone through that period. But this is the way I saw it, to teach them to love God with all their heart. There are three aspects to it. First, it is that lifestyle, just living it every day and just talking about God as you just move through the day, the daily activities, and sitting around the table and driving in the car. You're just giving them a Christian worldview of the world. And then secondly, there are those times I think you need to set aside for what we call family devotions, where you do some clear instruction. Now again, it will vary according to the age of the child how long that is, but I think there needs to be some time where you actually sit down and give some clear instruction about the Scriptures, about God, about life. But then the third thing is that teachable moment. You know, we have something called the teachable moment. That's when we are open to learn as never before. It usually comes when some crisis has come into our life or something has happened that really opens up our spirit and our mind to learn. Now, you can't plan those teachable moments. You never know exactly when they're going to happen. You don't know when it's going to happen to you. But the important thing is because you're doing the first two, you're having that lifestyle, you're building that relationship with your child, that loving relationship, spending time with them, just doing things together, talking to them about the Lord is a natural thing to talk about God and His world. And because you are having some time of instruction where you actually instruct them in the Word or read Bible stories to them, because you're doing those two, when that teachable moment comes, they come to you and say, "Hey, Dad, I got this going on in my life. Or, hey, Mom, you know, this is really bothering me. What can I do?" And that's that teachable moment that you can share with them truth that God has for them, and they will receive it and absorb it and experience God in a deeper and fresher way at that point. So, a lifestyle, verbal instruction, and the teachable moments. All right, let me summarize. Again, what's God's goal? That our children love God supremely. What's His plan for us to accomplish this goal? We are to teach them. And we are to teach them personally and continually and naturally as a lifestyle. Now, let me give you some practical suggestions how you can go about accomplishing this goal using God's plan in your life. First of all, relate God's love to your child's everyday experiences. Tell him or her of God's concern for their daily activities. When they have problems at school, when they have problems with their friends, relate that to God's concern for them. I one time heard a parent tell a child who was praying about just something going on in their life, "I don't bother God with those little things. He's got much greater things. He's having to run a whole world. He's not concerned about your little problems." Nothing could be further from the truth. God is concerned about everything that concerns us or concerns our children. No issue, no problem is too small for God. Yeah, He's running the whole universe, but He's God. He can do that and still be concerned about our little problems. And so teach your child that God loves them and He's concerned about anything that concerns them. And no matter what it is, they need to learn to take those things to God in prayer. So pray with them over the things that bother them. Teach them that prayer is just talking to God. And so go to them and say, "Well, let's talk to God about this. This person said this about you at school and it's hurt you. Let's go talk to God. Let's pray for them. Let's pray about this situation." So share with them your heart for God and your heart for prayer. Relate God to their world. You're walking outside, say, "Who made the trees? Who made the sky? Who made the moon?" And just talk about just the creation that God has made and the beauty. This time of the year with the beauty of the leaves is a wonderful time. Just, again, as you're just walking, driving down the road, just talk to your children about what God has made and what He's done and how good He is. So secondly, make time each day to be with God in a special way. Show them the importance of spending time each day with God. At an early age, you want to begin reading the Bible stories to them. Or even if they're so young they can't hardly even comprehend words, we used to have a picture Bible that we would show pictures of different Bible stories and just tell them those stories. Anything just to begin to show them the importance of having a little time with God every day. Before they go to bed at night, sometime during the day, whenever it works best. But and it won't be long if they're real young. We're talking about 5 minutes maybe, a little bit longer when they're really young. But then as they get older, you might want to act out some Bible stories. You might want to tell them some Bible stories to take a little more time. But what you're doing is you're getting them in the rhythm of realizing that spending time with God every day is crucial to a strong Christian life and is important. Sings Bible songs with them. You can, again, have their games you can play, Bible games you can play that, again, reinforce biblical truth. And then as they get older, help them to have a daily time with God through Jesus. You want to bring them to that place if they realize the importance of following Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. That they can't get by on what mom and dad have, that they must have their own personal relationship with God through Jesus. That if they're going to love Him supremely, just like you have to love God through Jesus, they need to love God through Jesus. And so as you've been talking to them all along as they've been growing up about the things of God and showing them your love for God and your love for Jesus, and as they get older and you begin to show and tell them about the importance of them personally surrendering to Jesus as Lord of their lives, receiving Him as their personal Savior, then you lead them to spend time every day with God in the Word, in prayer, and this enables them to continue in growing in this goal of loving God with all their heart, loving Him supremely. And then you want to teach them to involve God in their everyday decisions. You know, because God's concerned about everything that goes on in our life, we need to be talking to Him about decisions that go on in our lives. You know, pray and ask God for wisdom. Ask Him about things that are going on, what He would have you to do. What's God's will in that situation? When we started today, I asked you, what goal did you have for your children? I don't know what you thought in your head, but let me ask you again. What goal do you have for your child during those 17 or so years that they're there with you? Is there any goal that's better, that's greater, that's more important than for them to love God supremely through Jesus Christ? And what's your plan for accomplishing that goal? God's given it to you. Teach them personally. Let them see it in your life. Teach them continually. It's a process that takes years. And teach them naturally as a lifestyle. God's given you the goal. He's given you
the plan, will you accept His goal and His plan? Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You have given us in Your Word the goal, the plan that You have for us as parents, that our children might grow up to love You supremely. Give us the grace now to do this. In Your name, amen.